Okay, hey Heather. So we have Heather here today, who is a great person with kirtan and yoga. So how are you doing, Heather?
Hare Krishna Sundar, I'm doing well.
Hare
Thank you
Krishna.
for inviting me to do this interview.
Great, great, Hare Krishna. So yes, so Heather, I've been looking at your Facebook profile, and we know each other for a while, so very nice to do this together. So we're going to get started with some few basic questions on how you got introduced to kirtan. So can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I was actually chanting the Maha Mantra and listening to kirtan music for years before I even knew what it was. So I actually was introduced to mantra and chanting through my teacher from Laughing Lotus in New York, Lauren Magarelli, who is a beautiful bhakta. And I just remember her bringing her harmonium to class one day, and playing it and chanting. And I just remember feeling in that moment that everything was going to change because I was like, oh, this is what I want to do. This is not even what I want to do. This is what I have to do.
I see.
And so that's how I became exposed to kirtan. And then I slowly began to put the puzzle pieces together later that, oh, I had been listening to Krishna Das. I had been listening to Bhagavan Das and Jai Uttal and all of these Western kirtan singers for years. And listening to their music always had the most profound effect on my state of being. And I had no idea what they were chanting or what it was even about.
Oh, okay.
So that's really how I encountered it.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So I see. I encountered the rock stars of our Western world of kirtan.
Yeah.
Great. So yeah, like chant for change. I guess it moved you to change. That's good to hear. Now, what motivates you in kirtan? Because in knowing you, I know you're a very driven and enthusiastic lady. So what motivates you, like, in the world of kirtan?
Devotion and also the impact of chanting kirtan, there's no other feeling that can come like that, right? So it's a feeling of completeness, wholeness, nothing missing, a feeling of bliss, of happiness that you just want to keep, so that's what really inspires me to keep chanting, and I want to share that with others. But even, Gauravani is one of my teachers, and he says that we should chant only for the Lord, actually, and that it's not really about us, it's not even really about other people, that it's really just about being with God.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty sweet. And it's interesting you mentioned that, like, with Gaurani and then chanting for God. Now, I know that also, Heather, that you're a great yoga teacher. You practice yoga. So how does that work with the yoga community? How do you see them accepting that, and what are your experiences with yoga and kirtan together?
Well, the first people that I ever chanted with were actually my students from a public high school in New York City in
Oh,
Brooklyn.
okay.
And I, because I was actually at that school where I worked, we stopped teaching regular classes twice a year, and we would teach these things called intensives. And the teacher, so I would collaborate with another teacher, and the two teachers would come up with the course, the intensive that they wanted to teach. And so I always taught some variation of a yoga intensive. And I was teaching a yoga intensive for the first time, and I realized, like, the night before that I was supposed to begin teaching this intensive that I needed to have a harmonium in that intensive, and that it just simply wouldn't be complete without it. And so I went to my teacher, Lauren, and I asked her how, like, where do I buy a harmonium? How do I buy it? What should I look for? And she helped me. And I just bought a harmonium, and I had really not much idea how to play it. Except for just, you know, oming, and maybe I think I knew like maybe like Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu. Maybe I knew like a few chords that I could play. And I took it to school and started chanting with the kids. And I had to be careful about that because, you know, in a public high school setting, there's a lot of religious diversity. And I didn't want to offend anyone or do something, you know, that wasn't appropriate in the context of a public school setting. So the way I see kirtan meeting yoga is really being aware of, like, where you're teaching, who are you teaching, and how you're going to – you can always incorporate chanting. You can always incorporate mantra in anything that you do, but I think it's really important to recognize and acknowledge and respect the context that you're teaching in, and have to understand that you can't just roll in there and start, you know, doing your own thing, right, without consciousness around who you're chanting with. So – and how people may feel about that, how they may be perceiving it, how they may be experiencing it. So I do believe that kirtan in a yoga class does need some guidance, does need some explanation so that students can enter it in their own way and in a way that feels safe to them.
That's really nice the way you put that. Yeah, I mean, it's not that everyone can just... you know, barge into a yoga class, like you said, and just start om and so on. So, yeah, I can imagine. Great. So now having, you know, been with these two worlds and integrating them so well, and as a side note, we hope to do more of these with Heather, where, you know, she can lead us and take us more into this world and demonstrate how we all can, you know, take this up, be it yoga teachers or other walks of life. So Heather, with you, you know, specifically, you know, do you have any recent experiences about, you know, kirtan that you could share? I know you mentioned that high school where you taught, but are there any more that you'd like to bring up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was just the beginning of my journey. I have since chanted kirtan with people all over the world. And I do like to take my harmonium with me. And so I taught a yoga teacher training last summer in Washington, D.C. with a beautiful organization called Breathe for Change, which is a yoga teacher training certification program specifically designed for public school teachers. Each person has to have like an adjective that starts with the same letter of their name. So to remember names, it's easier if you have an adjective in front. So I was, my adjective was harmonium hauling Heather Irene. And so there's, and I really manifested that. So then it was like I was just hauling this harmonium around this training all the time. And I realized that that's just what I do generally, is I haul my harmonium wherever I go. And that's a beautiful thing to do.
I remember that one.
It's incredibly inconvenient, but you'll be happy you have it when you get somewhere, especially if you're someone like me who's like a yogi and going to a lot of retreats and trainings and stuff. You know, the harmonium has an instantaneous capacity to bring people together. So I've chanted with people on yoga retreat in Mexico. I took my harmonium to California at Esalen. I did a work study program there last year. And the best kind of kirtan for me, maybe not the best, but one that I really love to engage in, is just one that can be spontaneous, you know, that can just happen in the moment with whatever other musicians are around. And it's people are fascinated by the harmonium, and it's just the vibration of the sound is so collect. It's like collecting. It collects people, and it holds them in the space. And so, yeah, I recently Tuesday night I was at Bhakti Center, and I attended a beautiful Tuesday night program, which is more of a guided kirtan experience than the Thursday night program. But it was really beautiful, and Doyle Garanga was leading it. And he was talking about home and how we had just experienced some very severe cold weather. And he was talking about, you know, being aware of people who are experiencing homelessness who might not have a home in that kind of weather. And he tied it into this idea of having a spiritual home, you know, and that we keep that spiritual home in our hearts, and we keep it clean, and we keep it welcoming and warm by chanting the Maha Mantra. And this was the theme of the evening. And so I remember intuitively feeling when he was telling the story that there must be someone in the room who did not have a home. And I just felt that. I felt there's probably someone here who doesn't have a home. And then later after the, and then when I had arrived at the kirtan, I asked someone who was sitting in the front row if the blanket next to him was being used, and he said no, and he smiled at me, and he was very welcoming soul. Just like, so I felt very good energy coming from this person. And so then after the kirtan, I started chatting with him. And it turns out that I said, I've never seen you here before. And he said, oh, I'm from Mexico. And this is my last night in New York City. And I wanted to come to the Bhakti Center because I love chanting the Maha Mantra. He was a yoga teacher. And I said, oh, that's cool. Where are you staying tonight? And he said, actually, I don't know. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, the friend I was supposed to stay with tonight is actually not in New York City. She's traveling, and I can't get her keys, so I'm not sure where I'm going to go. And I was like, oh, my God, because we had just been at this kirtan where it was like it was all about having a place to stay, you know, and I was like, oh, then you should definitely come home with me, and you should stay because I have a mattress you can sleep on in my living room. And he was like, are you serious? And I said, yes, let's go. So he came home with me, and we had the most beautiful evening together. I made some vegetarian tacos. And then the next day, the next morning, I said, can we chant together? And he was like, absolutely. And I didn't have a drum because, of course, on my travels, I gave my drum away. And so he went into the kitchen, and he got like this big pot. He brought it back into my room in front of the altar, and he was. We had the most beautiful kirtan together, and he was playing this you know, this pot from the kitchen, and it's like kirtan can happen in any time in any way, right? Like sometimes I create a lot of conditions around like, oh, the kirtan has to be this, or it has to be that, or it has to have this instrument, or the right people, or whatever it is, you know. But really. Kirtan can happen anywhere at any time, and it's so beautiful when it does, when it happens just spontaneously in the moment, because that's when the intention is pure, because there's no pretense, there's no setting it up, you know. It's just there,
all spontaneous.
And it was just such a beautiful it was a gift, right? I felt like he kept saying thank you to me, but I was like, no, I wanted to just say thank you to him, you know.
I see what you mean. Yeah, that's really sweet. I mean, the way you said that, and the you know, what you mentioned about the space, and then being spontaneous. And knowing you, I can understand. And we're going to have I see that you have a picture on your Facebook profile. We're going to include that along with this blog here of the kirtan
with the pot. Okay.
Yeah. And so I'm with that, we're going to kind of try to conclude this session, the first one, and then we hope to have more and delve like deeper into this. But so here's to happy harmonium hauling Heather.
Thank you, Sundar.
Absolutely. Thank you, Heather.